Grace and peace and mercy are ours this day through Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the season of Easter, we've been doing a sermon series called Not Just for Sundays, and we're looking at the specific pieces of the worship, walking through them, kind of saying, you know, why do we do and say this stuff each week we gather? And so we started with the invocation, which is, you know, we worship in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we talked about confession and forgiveness and why that matters, why we might want to do that and the gift that it is. And Pastor Freeman, last week I got to hear her talk about and preach about hymns and singing and why we do that. And this morning we focus on the sermon, or as some of you call it, nap time. No. But it's a sermon on the sermon. It makes me feel like I'm in the movie Inception or something. And to a certain extent, I find it difficult to talk about the sermon. Truth be told, I think every one of us at Mount Olivet who has the privilege of doing it does it with some fear and trembling every week. You know, we have this precious message and story to proclaim, and all the while we know that we ourselves are in need of it as just as much as anybody else, and we carry our own doubts, our own hardships and trials, and yet, you know, the congregation expects us to get this out there. And then even if we might have some idea of what we might want to say, you know, famously there's been a lot of preachers, even in the scriptures, when they preached a sermon, it wasn't received so well. You know, John the Baptist famously literally lost his head. So sometimes I'm tempted to duck after, you know, after a preaching. And as Pastor Hammerston wrote in her sermon teaser for this Sunday, she said she knows a pastor who says they feel like an imposter each time. I kind of can relate to that. But as she wisely noted too, that's kind of the point. Perhaps that's what makes faithful preaching real and meaningful, because it's finally not really about a preacher's own words, but how do we share the gift of the story of God in Christ? Pastor Callan says to all of us, Pastor Freeman knows this, if we ever have the privilege of preaching at an event here or there or a funeral or something, and we run into Pastor Callan, he says, oh, what are you going to say? Oh, I know, probably something about Jesus again, huh? He understands and reminds us that the focus of the task is sharing this story of a God who loves us so much that God would become a human, live our life and encounter our death to proclaim and show us that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love, that God is with us through all thick and thin. It reminds me also of what the Apostle Paul said about the gospel and the word of Jesus. Today we hear from his letter to the Philippians, but he says in another letter to the Corinthian church, he said, we hold this treasure in clay jars, meaning we have this precious word, and yet we hold it in our fragile, mortal, finite selves, and then we tell it to each other. God is gifted, even though we're fragile clay jars, God still pours this message into us. Perhaps my favorite description of preaching, and what helps me actually like gird my loins to get up here, is comes from a quote I heard a long time ago. It said, sharing about Jesus is really one beggar telling other beggars where to find food. I love that. Some people attribute it to Martin Luther. Famously, when he died, he had a scrap of paper in his pocket, and he had written on it, we are beggars. This is true, all of us. But it's also a tribute to another pastor who spent a lot of life and work in Sri Lanka and noticed the community of beggars that went around and how they would communicate with each other. Hey, there's food over here today. Or there's a place right here where you can find some. And I love that aspect of how we all share together. You know, us preachers aren't the only ones on the hook. And you have tendrils out into the community and your networks where you can say, hey, I found food here, and it may sustain you too. I asked one of my kiddos this week what they thought the sermon is supposed to do. That seemed like a dangerous thing for me to do with one of my kids. But the smart whippersnapper said, "The sermon seems like trying to tell the Bible story in a way that makes it sound like it was written by actual humans." It's smart. I like it. I said, "Well, you know, it was written by humans, kid. But I get what she means. How can you hear it for yourself?" And that's where preaching happens. When you hear, "This is for you." How does it come into your lap and address what you've got going on? How do you take this 2,000, 3,000, 4,000-year-old story and make some sense of it and see that it actually speaks to us now? It's kind of an audacious thing. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians, he's writing from the circumstance of being in jail. And one of the morsels of food he gives to the Philippian church then is he says, "I press on, even though I'm going through this hardship, this trial, I might even be facing death." He says, "The love of Christ helps me press on, even to the next moment, the next day, the next week." Pastor Lois will he likes to say that the good news is almost too good to be true so that you have to have it at least every 7 days. I like that. This week, us pastors are privileged with having people show up bearing their trials and hardships. And this week, I was minding my own business in my office, and it happened again where somebody came in and needed to talk about trials and tribulations and even mistakes. And I was able to give them crumbs of what I've gotten before, to say to them, "You are still loved by God. This moment won't define you. There's love and joy still to come for you. And I know it to be true." Able to hand that crumb over to him because somebody had handed that crumb to me before. Paul understands that as a clay jar himself, God has poured love into him. And sometimes the hope that that food brings is enough to press on to the next moment, even the next hour, to take the next step of faith. I don't know what food you need this morning, but maybe there's a crumb in that for you. What do you need for the next moment, the next hour, the next week? What are you facing in your work, in your life, in your family, in your relationships, in the world? And then you have food to share with others. Thanks be to God. One of the best parts of being a pastor is hearing how that food makes its way out through our lives to others. And it might only just be a morsel, but it might be just what another needs to make it through their day. So perhaps this sermon will only be a meager crumb, but a crumb can do a lot. And I'll end then as I began. Grace, peace, and mercy are ours this day through Jesus Christ. Amen.